Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are again, another 4 years, and it's a chance to do what we love best as human beings. We love to divide the world into two different kinds of people, to have my camp over here and the other camp over there. We do this all kinds of ways, even when it's not an election year. If you were in the 1790s, you would have been a Hamiltonian or a Jeffersonian, but we also do it in ways that it's not just political. So, for example, if you are a classic rock buff like I am, you have a very strong opinion about who the best vocalist was for Van Halen, whether it's David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar. And it is David Lee Roth, despite what some of the choir members may be thinking right now. If you are into sitcoms, if you were on the cast of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you would have been more of a Cousin Will person or a Carlton person. I'm not going to do the dance, but we're all thinking it right now. If you're a fashion person, you have strong opinions about boot cut or skinny jeans, and don't even get into the high waist versus low rise thing. And then if you're a home decor aficionado, you're either a Hobby Lobby type person, or you're a Crate and Barrel slash West Elm kind of person. And so we find ways to divide ourselves all the time. And we do it in church as well. We have the sort of the churchy people and the non-churchy people. And we have this idea that churchy people are good, that they follow the rules, they color inside the lines. There's nothing nefarious in their browser history. They're just good people. And we think that because of readings like the one we heard from Joshua, where Joshua rehearses with the people of Israel, remember these promises you made, and you're going to really keep them this time, aren't you? And they say, famously, and even if you've never read this passage before, you know the verse if you've been in Hobby Lobby, because you can buy it on plaques and posters and placards you can put in your kitchen. As for me and my house, it's in cursive, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I always want to tell people, I never say this when I go to their house, I'm like, you know how that story ended, right? They didn't serve the Lord. Even they also wrote the verses above their doorposts and on their mantles and all that sort of stuff. And they went into exile. So, put that over your dining room table. But the thing about this is we do, because of passages like this, think that there are sort of the good people and the bad people. And if in your church, if you're a church person, you're a good person. You're in on that side of things. So whether it's church stuff, fashion stuff, or politics, and which sign has been in your yard for the past 2 months, we tend to divide the world always into two categories, this dualistic thinking, and there's usually a good side and a bad side. Jesus, as he typically does, tends to take our thinking and turn it upside down and to push us in a new direction. And we get that in this story from Matthew 25. San Mateo 25. And what we learn from the story about bridesmaids is an upending of our dualistic, two kinds of people sort of thinking. So let me walk you through the story a little bit here and then see how it all gets turned upside down. So it begins with this idea that there is something called the kingdom of heaven. And I just have to, right off the bat, get out of the way that this is not a story about who gets into heaven or not. We hear heaven and we think that this is going to be a story about who does St. Peter open the velvet rope for to let them pass the pearly gates? Kingdom of heaven is synonymous for another phrase Jesus uses, kingdom of God. And both of those mean what the world is like when God is in charge. A perfectly accurate translation would be when God reigns, or in the reign of God, or the administration of God. When God is in charge, this is what the world looks like. And you have to remember, God is not just in charge in the by and by, way up there in heaven with the family circus folks, grandpa and all them in the clouds. God is in charge now, here. So this is a story about the here and now. And it's a story about who is celebrating in this party with God, because it's all, this parable is all about a wedding reception. The kingdom of heaven, the world when God is in charge, is described as being a party with the chocolate fountain and the ice sculpture and the pigs in a blanket and all the good things that come with a wedding reception. The first dance, the toast, just seeing all your friends. This is what the world is like when God is in charge. And so Jesus wants to tell a story about what that is like. And so he says, in this metaphor of a wedding banquet, there are these bridesmaids. Because back in the first century, the way you went to a wedding reception is that the groom would get married and would come and gather these bridesmaids, and they would walk in procession to this party. And they're waiting for him for this procession, this walk through the neighborhood to get to the party. And these 10 bridesmaids are waiting. And it's getting to be late, and so they've brought their little oil lamps so they can see the ways, I guess, as they walk to this party. And these oil lamps would have been little clay lamps, kind of like if you've seen Aladdin, the genie in the lamp sort of thing. But they're smaller versions of that with a little olive oil inside and a wick that comes out of it. And there were these 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 foolish bridesmaids. The wise ones bring extra oil. They're like people that bring the spare battery charger for their smartphone. And then the ones that forget, the foolish ones who showed up with only 30% left on their charge, and by the time the bridegroom gets there, they're at zero. So this is the story, and of course what happens is the bridegroom arrives, the foolish ones go get more oil because they've run out, and the wise ones go into the party because they've got extra oil. And so we think that this story is about be wise, not foolish. 2 kinds of people in the world. Dualistic thinking. The good ones and the bad ones. Don't be bad, be good. Don't be foolish, be wise. But if we look at it a little closer, we see that there's something more going on here. Because what was the one thing at the end of the story that Jesus said to do? He gives one command. Anyone? Anyone? Choir, I'm looking at you. I think somebody said, be awake. You're right. You are getting into heaven. The one thing Jesus has to do, because again, we hear it and we think that the story is going to be about make sure you have enough oil, whatever oil represents, like good deeds or something. But the only thing Jesus has to do is to stay awake. And who stayed awake? Choir people. How many people stayed awake? 0. They all fell asleep, it says. As they were waiting, all of them fell asleep. So the one thing he said to do, none of them did. And the point here is sort of that they're all human, meaning they all fail. They all come up short, every single one of them, whether we call them wise or foolish. And I want you to remember, as you come across this story again in your life, as you read it in church or in your own devotional life, when you see wise and foolish, you have to put air quotes around them because they are all humans who come up short. And even the wise ones are kind of terrible people. You look how they treat their fellow bridesmaids who run out of oil. Do they share the oil? No. Do they say, you can walk with me arm in arm. We'll hold the lamp together. No, they don't do that. They say, oh, you better get over to the all-night oil store, which probably doesn't exist, so they have to run to this place and wait for it to open at dawn or whatever. So even the quote-unquote wise ones are terrible. So this story levels everybody and completely explodes our categories of good and bad, wise and foolish, churchy people and non-churchy people. The only reason that the 5 wise bridesmaids get into the party is just because they happen to be standing there with their self-righteousness and annoying self-superiority when Jesus arrived. The only thing that gets you in is that Jesus lets you in. Nothing you bring to the party. And I have half a mind to believe that had the quote-unquote foolish bridesmaids stuck around, even with their empty lamps, the bridegroom, because he's a pretty great guy, would have said, that's okay, we'll follow me, I'll get you there. The point of the story is that we all are human, and we all get into the kingdom of God because of his grace and only because of that. Oil or no oil, Jesus will get you in. Now, this is all sort of theoretical. This is a parable, and what does it mean for us? because we are told to stay awake. And that is very clear in the passage. So what does it mean to stay awake? Well, it means all the good things that we know to do, to abide with Jesus, to stick with him, to be on the lookout for him, to be aware of his presence. It's in all kinds of ways we can do that in our life, attending church or reading the Bible or meeting Christ in a person whom you're serving who is in need. All these things are ways to keep awake for the Lord. And I could just end on that, you know, be good people, essentially. As our country is divided, just be unified. As there are 50% of the population with whom you disagree, just pray for them and love them. And listen to them. Just be good people, right? We have a pretty good track record of that, right? So there's got to be something else here. Yes, Jesus says to be awake, but we're going to see something really amazing happen in the very next chapter in the book of Matthew. If you were to turn to Matthew 26, you would see this story come to life because Jesus enters the end of his ministry. And after that Last Supper with his disciples, that reception, that feast, he goes out to a garden and it's late at night and he brings some friends to watch and wait with him, to stay awake. And of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fall asleep. They're the bridesmaids who get drowsy and sleep instead of watching and waiting. They don't do what Jesus tells them to do, which is to stay awake. They do it once, and Jesus comes back and finds them sleeping and says, "Wake up!" He goes to pray even more. He comes back again. They're sleeping. He goes, wakes them up, goes to pray more. Comes back. They sleep again. They keep hitting snooze. They don't do what Jesus tells them to do, which is to stay awake. Now, if you or I were in Jesus' shoes, we might at that point hit the little communication device on our left breast and radio up to the Enterprise and say, "Beam me up, God, because I'm done with these people. I told them a parable about staying awake. I gave them 3 chances to stay awake, and they didn't do it. They're not getting the picture, and they don't deserve what we're trying to do here, Lord. So I'm leaving them to their own devices." But that's, of course, not what Jesus does. Even though this real life now coming to life of this story about the bridesmaids happens and the disciples fail, just like we often fail, the Lord continues to do what he came to do, which is to then be arrested and to be tried and to be jailed and to be crucified and to die, to give his life for you and for me, and then to rise again, conquering sin, death, the devil, the world, all these things that make us sleepy people. He conquers all of them and offers to us this new life awake with him always. Not because we're so great, because we can hold our eyes open for the Lord, but because he now puts his spirit in us to make us people who are awake and who are loved and who are forgiven, even if we still sometimes fall asleep. So that's how the parable of the 10 bridesmaids actually ends in real life. Everybody falls asleep, but because of the grace of God and the forgiveness which he offers, we come into the party. So let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your grace that whether we are awake or asleep, covers us always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.